Our Old Testament reading this morning is found in the book of Ezekiel. We'll be reading from chapter 34 of Ezekiel, verses 11 through 16, and then we'll skip down and read 20 through 24. It's found on page 744 of your Pew Bibles. And this time, let us listen to God's word for us. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock when some of his sheep have been scattered abroad. So I will seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered, on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the fountains and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and upon the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pastures. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on fat pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the crippled, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will watch over. I will feed them in justice. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns till you have scattered them abroad. I will save my flock. They shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Our epistle reading comes from the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. We'll be reading from chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians, beginning at verse 15 through 23, and it is found on page 1017 of your Pew Bibles. Again, let us listen to God's word for us. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power in us who believe, according to the working of his great might, which he accomplished in Christ when he raised him from the dead and made him sit at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And our gospel reading comes from the book of Matthew, Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. Again, let us listen to God's word for us as Jesus tells one of his final parables before he is arrested and crucified in Jerusalem. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep at his right hand, but the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, Come, O blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see thee hungry and feed thee, or thirsty and give thee drink? And when did we see thee a stranger and welcome thee, or naked and clothe thee? And when did we see thee sick or in prison and visit thee? And the king will answer them, Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, Lord, when did we see thee hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to thee? And then he will answer them, Truly I say to you, as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. It's the word of the Lord. Well, we finally made it. Today is the last Sunday in the Christian year. This Sunday is called Christ the King Sunday. And on this Sunday, the last Sunday in the Christian year, we celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ is indeed King and Lord of the whole world. That's what the early Christians proclaimed. They went around saying that Jesus is Lord, that he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And when they proclaimed that, they were not just engaging in religious speak. They were making a statement that could very well cost them their lives. It often did cost them their lives because they made that statement in a world where there were already lords and kings and lords and lords and kings of kings. And oftentimes those other lords were quite jealous of their power. And so when the early Christians went around and said, Jesus Christ is Lord, and it is only to him that we owe our ultimate allegiance, they were saying a great deal that often got them imprisoned and thrown into jail or killed. But today, we are celebrating the fact that Jesus is indeed Lord. He is indeed King. But today is also something else according to Matthew, because we are told that today, according to Matthew, is also Judgment Day. That was part of what a king did. A king was someone who judged those who were under him. We remember Solomon in the Old Testament often judging those who came to him with problems, making sure that the kingdom ran according to the ways of God. And so part of what a king did was to judge. And that is what this day is about as well. It is Judgment Day. That's what the parable of Jesus that Matthew tells us, that Jesus tells in Matthew's gospel, wants us to understand. Judgment Day. And I realize that many of us Americans are a bit uncomfortable when it comes to judgment. We're uncomfortable sometimes with the whole notion of judgment. One of the worst things you can do sometimes is to judge somebody or to be accused of judging somebody. You know, you don't have the right to judge me, or who are you to judge me, is something that we hear quite often, and I understand that. Oftentimes, you know, we judge from a particular place of self-righteousness, but we often have trouble with judgment, the whole notion of judgment. Many of us even have trouble with the notion of a judging God, of a God who judges us. Again, that's usually because that has been somehow thrown out of place by people who are eager, self-righteous people who are eager to cast aspersions at other people without being mindful of their own sin. So we Americans sometimes have trouble with the whole notion of judgment. But we also know that we live in a world that is often a mess, a world that we have made a mess of. And we also, many of us, have this deep longing deep down inside of ourselves for things to be made right, for things to be sorted out, for somebody to make things right again. And so we Americans, even though we're uncomfortable with the notion of judgment, we recognize that there needs to be some judgment. It's probably why one of the most ubiquitous figures in our society today is the judge. I was watching daytime TV for the last couple of weeks and couldn't even count all of the shows about judges, Judge Judy and Judge Mathis and Judge Hackett. Daytime television is filled with programs about judges. And again, it speaks to the deep longing that we have of a world that needs to be put to right, of a world that needs to be sorted out. But this morning we are told that it is Judgment Day. It is Judgment Day, and the judge is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the Son of Man, and he has come to judge the world. And oftentimes when we think of Judgment Day, we often think of ourselves as individuals standing before our Maker and God examining our hearts and recalling all the things that we have done and judging us. But in this parable that Jesus tells this morning, what is being judged are the nations. That's what this text tells us. The la ethne, the nations, are what is being judged. And it makes sense: if Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, then he comes to judge the nations. And that's what that term, that mysterious term that Jesus often used, Son of Man, is all about. Jesus is the Son of Man, and he has come to judge the world, to judge the nations. That term Son of Man, of course, is taken from the book of Daniel, Daniel 7. Some of you are familiar with that. In that text, Daniel, the prophet, sees a vision of a number of kingdoms, empires that emerge out of the chaos, out of the waters. And they emerge successively. And each of these empires or kingdoms Daniel is able to see, and they make great pretensions, but Daniel is able to see them for what they really are. They are really beastly in nature, whatever the pretensions they make. They are beastly. They have claws and fangs. They're beastly. And Daniel is able to see this in part because Daniel is a prophet inspired by God, but he's also able to see it because Daniel is a captive, a Jew, living within one of those empires. And if you want to know how humane a society is, how humane a kingdom is, how humane a nation is, then that's where you go. You go to those who are the most vulnerable in that particular society. And you could learn how humane they are, how beastly they might be. Daniel can see that. But Daniel also sees something else. He sees another kingdom. But this kingdom is unlike the other kingdoms, because this kingdom looks like a human being. It looks like a son of man, as Daniel says, which means that this kingdom is humane. It is a humane kingdom because this kingdom is the kingdom of God. And that's how Jesus often referred to himself, as the Son of Man. Jesus is the embodiment of God's coming kingdom. Jesus is the one who tells us again and again about the kingdom. He told us early in Matthew's gospel who the kingdom was for when he read those beatitudes or gave those beatitudes. The kingdom is for the poor and those who are poor in spirit. The kingdom is for those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. The kingdom is for the peacemakers. The kingdom is for those who are reviled. These are the people who are waiting on the kingdom. And this morning, Matthew tells us that it's judgment day because the king has come and he is judging the nations. And the criteria for judgment is how humane the nations have been. Part of what Jesus does here is he separates those who are being judged, those who looked after the poor, who fed the hungry, who clothed the naked, who attended to the strangers, are over here on the right-hand side, the sheep. And those who neglected to do all of that are over here on the left-hand side, the goats. But they are all being judged. And what always intrigues me about this parable that Jesus tells is how surprised everyone is. How surprised people are with the verdict. They are surprised somehow that the Son of Man, that Jesus, the Son of Man, has identified so completely with those who are the most vulnerable, that what was done to the vulnerable or not done to the vulnerable was done or not done to Jesus himself. That's what he tells them. And that's what they say. Lord, when did we see you? We don't remember seeing you at all. Everyone is surprised, including the sheep. The sheep are surprised. The goats are surprised. Lord, when did we see you? We don't remember seeing you. And the Lord says, when you did these things to the least of these, you did them to me. When you fed the least of these, you fed me. When you clothed the least of these, you clothed me. When you greeted the stranger, you were greeting me. And if I were in the company of goats at this time, I might say, but Lord, we didn't know that. If only you would have told us that. If only you would have let us know that, then we would have been more humane. We didn't know that. How were we to know? How were we to know that you were in that group of strangers, that group of immigrants trying to get in, trying to escape those places in the world where their lives are in danger? How are we to know that you are in that group? If we would have known that, then of course we would have acted more humane, but we didn't know it. How were we to know that you were one of the 2 million people that we lock up in this country? We didn't know that. Had we known that, we would have treated you a little bit more humane. How were we to know that you were one of millions of people who needed to be taken care of, who needed to have health care, needed to be taken care of? We didn't know that. If we knew that, we would have treated you a little bit more humane. If you would have only told us that when we didn't do those things, that we were not doing them to you. And I can imagine Jesus saying, you didn't need to know that. You didn't need to know you were doing them to me. All you needed to know is that they were human beings. All you need to know is that they were people made in the image of God. That's all you needed to know. The sheep didn't know it either, but they did it because they recognized the human worth and dignity of each and every person. And that's all you would have needed to know if you would have just treated them as human beings. That's all you needed to know. That would have been all you would have had to do. You didn't need to know that you were doing it to me. One of the things that we've been doing for the last couple of years here at Awny, we've been worshiping with the Welcome Church. And the Welcome Church is a ministry to homeless people in the city. And we've gone there a couple of times, and we have worshiped there, and we have bought food and other items there to be distributed. And it's always, at least to me, a humbling experience and an eye-opening experience. Many of the homeless people are there. They usually sleep in the park or elsewhere, and maybe that opportunity is one of the few opportunities that they have where somebody else even pays attention to them. Oftentimes, homeless people walk the streets, and you know what we usually do is avert our eyes from them. No one wants to look at them. But it's one of the few opportunities that people pay attention to them. And so some of them come to that worship service. And one of the things that we do when the worship service is over is we distribute, you know, some of the items that are brought, some of the food or the candy that's bought to be given out. And part of my job the last time we went was to pass out some of the candy, and someone was kind enough to bring a box of gummy bears or whatever they were. And it's just those little gestures that mean so much to people who are homeless. And to see people line up for those little gummy bears, and I was passing them out, you know, and I was afraid that I was going to run out, and you know, and so I was only giving people one, and then when it was clear that, you know, I wasn't going to run out, I started giving people, you know, two, and there was one woman that was right beside me, and I'd already given her one, and she was right there beside me, so I gave her another, and I kept giving them out, and then I started giving people two, and I gave her another when she had three, and then I gave her another when she had four, and as I was giving them out, she said, "You didn't give me another one." I said, "Well, I've given you four already." And she said, "No, you didn't. You didn't give me. You only gave me one." And I found myself getting a little angry, you know, a little mad. And I had to remind myself that, hey, this is, you know, this is Jesus you're talking to. If this was Jesus beside you, how many would you get? You might be emptying the whole box. This is Jesus that you're talking to. This woman represents the Lord. But I shouldn't have had to say that. I should have just been mindful of the fact that this is a human being. This is another human being. And oftentimes what we do to the poor in our society that we force them into these postures where the only way that they feel that they could protect themselves is by being as hard as they could possibly be or as deceiving as they could possibly be, because that's the way we've treated them. We live in a society that cares very little about those who are the most vulnerable in our midst. But Jesus says, it's judgment day. Today is judgment day. And Christ the King is here to judge by how we look after the vulnerable. When I was home last week, I, again, had the opportunity to look at TV, and I was looking at, you know, some of the religious shows on TV. My mother only allows for CNN or, you know, one of the, you know, TBN, one of the religious shows to be on. So I got my feel of it. But I was watching a program, and there was a preacher on, and he was saying how much, you know, God was going to judge America. And he had a whole litany of things that God was going to judge America on, and he was, you know, sharing that litany. And as he was going down the line, I was like, yeah, tell him, brother, God is going to judge America. He got part of that right, at least according to the parable that Jesus tells. God's going to judge the nations, so he's got part of that right. But when he was over with his litany, I had this strange feeling, because I'd already begun reading this passage, and nowhere in his litany did he say anything about God judging us for the way we treat the vulnerable, for the way we treat those who are hungry, for the way we treat those who are imprisoned, for the way we treat immigrants and the strangers in our midst. He let that out. And I noticed this passage is rarely cited whenever we talk about the Bible. You know, sometimes we talk about the Bible and the need to get the Bible out, and we want the Ten Commandments, you know, to be, you know, displayed and the Bible read. But this passage almost never, I hardly ever hear people allude to this passage. Even those who talk about the end time and judgment, they never talk about this particular passage, what Jesus says, how Jesus judges. What you did to the least of these, you did it to me. Why is it that we don't care about this particular passage? Is it that we don't care about the least of these? Could that be the reason why? We don't care about vulnerable people. We really don't care about that as a nation. But it's judgment day. It's judgment day. One of the things that Jesus is doing is he's wanting us to reevaluate our understanding of God. And he's wanting us to reevaluate where it is we might find God or expect God. Of course, we know that we can expect God in a place like this, a beautiful sanctuary like this. Sometimes we think we can expect God, anticipate God in beautiful settings among beautiful people, well-heeled people, renowned people, respected people, people that have their lives all together. But the Son of Man says, no, the place that you find God, the place that you'll be close to God, is in the midst of the world's brokenness, in the parks where homeless people gather, in the unemployment lines where people have very little hope, in prisons, for God's sakes, in prisons. That's where we might have the opportunity to experience God, to be close to God, in hospitals, in cancer wards, in hospice centers. There's where you have an opportunity to experience God, to be close to God, to serve God. And so on this judgment day, I would give us a criterion for understanding whether or not we are a godly country. Sometimes that's up for debate. We are a godly country. And we're a godly country not by how many churches we have, not by how many of our parishioners go to church, not by the number of times we pray, but we become a godly country to the extent that we open our hearts up to our fellow human beings and see the image of God in one another, especially in those who are the most broken. So I'll give you a criterion for judgment. Every time something is done in our country, we might judge it not by what it does for those who are well-heeled, but what it does for those who are the least of these. How will this affect the least of these? Because the Bible reminds us, and Jesus reminds us, that we are to take care of those who are at the very bottom, that the way you evaluate how humane an institution is, the way you evaluate how humane a country is, the way you evaluate how humane a church is what is done not for the people at the top, not for those who have influence and power, but for what is done for the people who are the most desperate, the most vulnerable. That's how you can judge how godly something is. And so Jesus says, today it is judgment day, because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is on his throne, and he is watching. And what we do for the least of these, we do to him. Let us pray. Gracious God, on this last day of the Christian year, you have reminded us that you are indeed the King and the Lord of all. Open our eyes, dear Lord. Open our eyes, not just that so that we can see you in the midst of the brokenness of our world, but that we can see one another for who we really are, men and women made in the image of God, men and women deserving of respect and dignity, men and women whom you've died for, as you've died for each and every one of us. Give us the power to see, and give us the heart to love everyone, but especially those who are the most vulnerable. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.